The Koi Gig Pod.
Yeah, I think what Athlone have done is now, as well as being a brilliant team, like the best team always wins the league. I'm a firm believer in that. But they're kind of like the blueprint of how to grow a team. I mean,
subscribe to the Koi Gig Pod on the Off the Ball app now.
Welcome to Thursday's Off the Ball Football Daily. My name is Richie McCormack. On the way, Ruben Amorim inches closer to the Manchester United job as David Brailsford claims it's a done deal. Ruud van Nistelrooy jumps to the defence of Bruno Fernandes and Casemiro. Ange Postecoglou discusses Tottenham's Carabao Cup win over Manchester City. And Rory Higgins assesses his options as Derry City look to block Shelburne's route to the title. First up today, Ruben Amorim looks set to take charge of Sporting against Manchester City in the Champions League, despite his impending confirmation as Manchester United manager. Multiple reports this morning say a deal has been agreed between United and his current club Sporting, with Amorim to take the reins at Old Trafford during the international break. United will pay the €10 million release clause to the Lisbon Giants, where Amorim still has over 18 months to run on his contract. The 39-year-old indeed will remain in charge for Sporting's upcoming league games with Estrella and Braga, which come either side of their hosting of Manchester City in the Champions League. Experienced football journalist Henry Winter joined this morning's Off the Ball breakfast, and he expects Amorim to hit the ground running at Old Trafford.
Well, we've had honeymoons before with Manchester United and managers. Ten Hag came in with a claim, but I think Ruben Amorim, you're seeing a coach on the way up. You're seeing a coach who's highly regarded as being linked with elite clubs like Liverpool and Manchester City. However much substance there were in those links, I think people in Portugal are slightly surprised that he stayed so long with them, given that he is clearly so good. You know, he's almost at that Xabi Alonso level, not quite, of sort of a claim of a manager on the way up. And it's kind of what Manchester United need. They need that little bit of swagger. They need that confidence. You saw Ruud van Nistelrooy last night. Obviously, he's embedded in Manchester United sort of folklore. But just that presence on the touchline, showing a bit of emotion. I mean, it seems slightly facile. But actually, in the modern world, perception, social media, whatever, perception is so important. And he set the tone. And Erik ten Hag, I mean, really likable guy. I've interviewed him. Very engaging character, but not necessarily when the microphones came out, not necessarily in the dugout. And Amorim, as is often the case when managers succeed someone else, is the opposite. He's got that strength and personality and aura.
Little step over. Casemiro shooters the demand. Oh, did he shoot? Van Nistelrooy celebrating like he scored it himself, and he would have been very proud of that one. It's a clever turn here from Dalot. Puts in the early ball. Chance for a second. Superb second. Garnacho on the sharp end of a superb Manchester United move. Fernandes, who goes through the wall. 3-1 Manchester United. It's a shower of goals at Old Trafford. And Fernandes is off the mark for the season. Taken short and quickly, Xerxes in there, off the post, and Casemiro sweeps it in for his second. Blink tonight and you'll miss a goal. Casemiro's not on the score sheet too often. He's now looking for a hat-trick.
It's his initial header, Casemiro, but then he reacts. He doesn't rest on his laurels. He's not got his head in his hands.
Manchester United looking for their fifth goal before half-time. He could have had his hat-trick before half-time. It's Fernandes, chance to finish it off, takes his time, and then whams it home for Manchester United's fifth. His second of the night.
Heard there, Manchester United booked a fourth League Cup quarter-final place in 6 years last night with a 5-2 victory at home to Leicester. Lightning rods for criticism in recent months under Erik ten Hag. Casemiro and Bruno Fernandes both scored twice in that game, and speaking to MUTV after the match, interim boss Ruud van Nistelrooy jumped to the defence first of Casemiro.
I was delighted also for Casse. The way he's been training and helping the team and the club, it's such an example. And you also see the crowd's reaction, and they also know that what he's about. We're delighted to have him round, and of course, going through difficult moments. The Liverpool game got a lot of criticism, and it's so hard. He was almost the one to blame for that game, and it's not fair. He didn't deserve that, and it was totally not true. And then if you see him then train and prepare for games, you know, with the history, then all he has achieved with five Champions Leagues, he's an example for us, and that was part of my celebration also. I'm happy for him.
And then to his captain.
I wasn't worried about him because I see him in every day in training, and the way he prepares and the way he's helping the team, and he's taking a lot on his shoulders to help players and the club, and so responsible for everything within the club, and today he was free. I said go out and play well and enjoy it, and of course I was delighted for him to go for the first one to go in, and then goals start coming, so hopefully more to come.
United's reward for last night's victory is a quarter-final away to Tottenham just before Christmas. Spurs denied a Manchester Derby quarter-final with a 2-1 win at home to Manchester City last night, courtesy of first-half goals from Tino Werner and Pape Sarr. Ange Postecoglou, though, isn't losing the run of himself, despite beating City.
I'm not going to go for big steps forward or big steps back. You know, I kind of, with the same team we were, you know, 3 days ago, you know, we're a side that's growing, we're developing. I've seen progress. I continue to see progress, but we're going to have stumbles along the way. And the same way we kind of, you know, don't lose our nerve after having a poor one on the weekend, tonight doesn't mean that we, you know, need to change our approach. It's, we're just going to keep working on what we've been doing and keep believing in sort of the process of what we're trying to build. And the key thing for tonight for us was obviously the victory, because, you know, in a cup competition, ultimately that's the main thing. You know, you've got to win to keep going, and we got that. And the fact that it was against a formidable opponent, is great for the whole group.
City manager Pep Guardiola kept Erling Haaland in reserve last night as he looks to preserve his players' fitness. Indeed, Savinho added to the injury list last night, and despite the depth of their squad, Guardiola was putting on the poor mouths regarding City's injury profile.
When you have this situation with all the squad is fine, but the situation will be, but that's what I said before your colleagues, so that it will be make a step forward, all of us. And tomorrow we have two keepers and Erling Haaland to the training session, the rest. So we don't have anything else. So, but you know, today Nico played like the Nico we met in the preseason. Jacob was really good, and Jamal played exceptional as a central defender the minutes that he played. And it's really good this competition to use these players to play this McAtee. What a game he played! So and everyone and Kovan, the second half was amazing, and Bernardo as well. So Rico, the only player we cannot rest. We would like to rest, but we cannot do it. And really pleased on what I've seen, honestly. Really, really pleased. Last season against Newcastle happened the same. Played the first good half, the second half was not good. But today was 90 minutes, really, really composed against that team that is so, so dangerous, so difficult to handle it. And yeah, really pleased.
The other thing is, if you mentioned Rico, he looks exceptionally tired.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, how are you going to be able to manage?
I cannot have an alternative. My captain is injured, so I don't have an alternative.
And do you know, are you likely to have Walker or De Bruyne back in the next?
No. I think after international break. Three of them, Leo and Jack Grealish as well.
Liverpool will be away to Southampton in the Carabao Cup quarterfinals. Two Cody Gakpo goals helped the holders beat a dogged Brighton 3-2 at the Amex last night. Former St. Pat's loanee Vyacheslav Yaros started in goal for Liverpool ahead of Queevy and Kelleher, and Arne Slot was pleased with his deputy's performance.
I like the last thing you say, because everybody could see how important his saves were. I think the first big chance of the game was for them, where he saved the one versus one. And in the second half, of course, we all remember one or two saves he made as well. But you also added to that how comfortable he was with the ball on his foot, making the right choices, when to go short, when to clip the ball long towards the striker. And it helped also for him the quality Gerard Kwanzaa and Joe Gomez brought in build-up. So I liked that triangle today a lot in ball possession.
Elsewhere last night, Arsenal were 3-0 winners away to Preston, and Mikel Arteta's side will be at home to Crystal Palace in the quarterfinals. Palace won on the road for the second round running, beating Aston Villa this time 2-1. Alexander Isak and an Axel Disasi own goal handed Newcastle a 2-0 win at home to Chelsea last night, And the reward for Eddie Howe's side will be a home tie with Brentford in the last eight. In just over 24 hours from the time of recording of this podcast, we will discover the destination of the SSE Airtricity Premier Division title. Shelburne will start the night 2 points clear of Shamrock Rovers at the top, and they make the trip to Derry City. The County Stripes are out of the running following last week's defeat to St Pat's in Inchicore. And with the cup final to come against Drogheda at the Aviva, Derry manager Rory Higgins was asked how he'll be approaching his team selection tomorrow night.
Obviously we have some injury concerns following on from last week, but in saying that, we'll still have a good enough team on the pitch to try and win a game of football.
And well, obviously just on that subject then, you obviously have a, maybe don't only think about it right now, but another game coming up next Sunday, which is equally important. You have to have an eye on that as well.
Aye, well, we won't be taking unnecessary and silly risks. I don't think that would make any sense. So, but as I said, we'll still have a really good team on the pitch and a team that's capable of winning the game.
Rovers will be at home to Keith Long's Waterford tomorrow. Having looked out of the running for most of the season, the Hoops could well end the campaign with a fifth league crown in a row. Speaking to Rovers TV, their manager Stephen Bradley assessed potential nerves in the camp.
Yeah, of course. I think you always have nervous energy, nervous tension. I think that's quite normal for any game, to be honest. I think that's the bit that keeps you on edge as a player and as a manager. So that'll be there tomorrow, I've no doubt. But once they cross the white line, we try and implement the game plan, try and win the game like we normally do, and let's see if it's enough.
And given how the tables have turned over the last couple of months, obviously it was a slow start to the season, but you've thrown yourselves right back into the title question. Is there a feeling of confidence within the lads?
I don't think you do what we have done for the best part of 6 or 7 years without being confident. And understanding what we do is works and it's good. It's not about because we won Sunday and we won last week that we're confident. These players are confident in what they do because they're working it every day and have done for a number of years. So, like I said, we'll try and produce what we normally produce and let's see if that's going to be enough.
And how's the squad looking heading into the final day, and how's the preparation been in training over the last couple of days too?
Good, yeah, it's been good. Disappointed Dan suspended, disappointed for Dan more so because he's been brilliant for us. Sean Hall will miss out, Truman Knock, Rory will miss out. We need to check on Danny, but everyone else is in a good place. So Sean Cavan is back, so everyone else is in a good place.
Finally, Shelburne aren't represented on the three-man shortlist for the PFAI Player of the Year Award. Waterford striker Padraig Ammond, Derry City attacker Michael Duffy and Shamrock Rovers midfielder Dylan Watts have all been nominated. Rovers' Johnny Kenny, St Pat's forward Mason Melia and Cork City's Cathal O'Sullivan are all in contention to be named Young Player of the Year. That's it for today's Football Daily. Don't forget to subscribe to the OTB Football feed wherever you happen to consume your podcasts. My name is Richie McCormack. I'll be back with more Football Daily for you tomorrow. Till then, thanks for listening.